Hey, everybody. This is Adam, host of the podcast you're about to listen to. Just a few things to get out of the way before we get started. First up, come out to our live podcast / comedy show / Halloween party at the Hollywood Hotel in Los Angeles on October 28th. We'll be recording a live episode of Unpops with me, Jeff May, Quincy Johnson II, and Carrie Martin. Before that, there will be stand-up comedy from Chet Wild, Travis Clark, Keith Carey, Connor McSpadden, and more. Wear a costume. We'll be giving out prizes for the ones we like the best. It'll be a damn good time. We hope we see you there. Also, we have a sponsor this week, so please allow me 30 seconds or so to pay a few bills. Because here's the thing. Football season is underway, and if you're the type who likes to bet money on stuff like that without involving a shady neighborhood local who might break your kneecaps if things go awry, check out MyBookie. They've been in business for years. They have a good reputation. They offer 100% cash bonuses, whatever that means, and they pay out quicker than anyone in the game, I bet. Just 2 business days. Go to mybookie.ag and enter promo code UNPOPS to unlock a special offer just for sexy listeners such as yourself. I mean, do that unless you have a gambling problem, obviously, in which case you should call 1-800-522-4700 and get yourself some help. Okay, that's all. Thanks. We love you. Enjoy the show.
El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then, I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. But now I don't really do any of that shit. I just do this show. Joining me today, he is one half of the duo that hosts the Crime Podcast, or at least I think that's how you pronounce it. He's also a fantastic comic that you can see all the goddamn time at the Comedy Store. Ladies and gentlemen, Rich Slayton. Also joining me, he's the other half of the duo that hosts the Crime Podcast? Maybe that's how you pronounce it. There's 3 fucking I's in it. How do I know? Ladies and gentlemen, also a really funny comic, John Shefsky. It's going to be a great show. Everybody, welcome to Unpopular Opinion.
Hi, Unpopular.
Why are you talking like that, Jeff?
It's my voice now.
It's not how you talk.
Hey, I'm a Muppet guy.
That's my co-host, Jeff May.
That's me.
I'm Adam Todd Brown.
We're guys.
I'm the other co-host.
We're a couple of dudes doing dude shit.
We're hosts who co.
Talking Joes, talking passwords, pass dubs, as we like to call them.
No one calls it that.
We call them.
No one in the history of podcasts has ever called
Cry.
It that. I don't know what just happened. I
already feel like Shefsky tried to organize a coup, and then he left me hanging on the end in the middle of the coup.
I already feel like there's too much chemistry happening in the room right now.
This is a crossover event.
A crossover event.
This is how we cross over.
We have two new guests. Well, first time guests. They're not like babies. They've been around. John Shefsky and Rich Slayton, hosts of the Crime!
Oh, I thought podcast. We were doing it together.
Oh, that would have been so great if we'd done it together like we should have. But
no, yeah, I mean on the past.
You edit that out anyway.
But I mean on the true crime.
How dare you?
On the true crime podcast we do on this network, we do say the name together in unison at the beginning. But it's not a big deal.
Oh, you really? Gosh.
You two don't have to. Yeah, we go pretty scary boo.
Pretty spooky. Oh my god, they do it too. The Monday show.
That's hilarious. We thought everyone always comments too, like, you guys are weird, and we're like, it's just our thing. And then immediately we find
it's
out
just
like,
everybody
else's thing.
It's not our thing at all.
You're a lot like other comedians in the same city in.
What? No way.
Hosting a similarly themed podcast.
There's our exact replica of a podcast. It's called What Are You Guys Already Making?
The USS Cast. 7 feet long, they say.
but the guests aren't to scale. So that's a big problem.
That's fair. Right. That is a problem. So, thank you both for being here. I don't know why I'm talking to you as a team.
Because we are. We're we all. We're
well,
just,
you are.
We're together.
Our feet are touching.
We are together. They actually are touching. That was fun.
I was on an episode of your podcast about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, something like that.
About a month ago.
It was less than a year ago.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's recently.
It was bigger than a breadbasket.
The Unusual Suspect with Adam Todd Brown.
It was a lot of fun. It's recorded in the basement of the Comedy Store, which is haunted, but is also just a big boring storage unit. So it doesn't make for good ghost tours.
No, is the haunting that guy that killed himself because Steve. He wanted to get paid?
Oh yeah, Lebetkin. No, he would haunt the parking lot because that's where he died when he tried. So he tried to jump off the Andaz Hotel next door, and his goal was to hit Mitzi Shore, the Comedy Store's owner's car.
Oh my God.
And he didn't understand how physics works. So he thought that if he ran and jumped, his trajectory horizontally would continue at the same rate as it goes vertically.
Did he think he was going to survive when he hit the car?
No, he thought he was going to
die. Oh, he knew he was going to die.
Because he let them know, my name is Steve Lebetkin, and I used to be a comedian at the Comedy Store. But he was trying to hit Mitzi's and crush her car.
Oh, my God.
And he just didn't understand physics, and he just died.
Can you imagine
down.
Loving your art so much that you're willing to die for it?
I can't.
No, I hate insane. Comedy.
I love comedy, but I'm not going to jump off anything. You can still bust nuts and, you know, ride your bike around. Jesus.
Yeah.
Being homeless is still better than just
at
jumping
off. At the same
off,
time, by the way.
Right?
All those
at
things.
At the same time. You know how hard that'd be on your prostate to be on a bike saddle and jerking it? Oh, that'd be crazy.
So, Jeff.
We'll just brush right over that one. Technically possible.
What have you been up to?
Eating slices.
Anything else? Tell me all about your day.
Well, I recorded.
You know, the hardest part of the show for me. It's the first few minutes.
Very cruel.
Because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life.
Just going to let you borrow my G.I. Joe movie.
When all I really want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week. That's why we call this segment This Week in Media. It's about to get really intense. This is my favorite part of any episode with new guests. When the new guests are like, what the fuck's happening right now?
Also, I love the dynamic of adding a dog into the room.
It's made it tense.
At no point in time, you just like get jostled and like.
I had my hands bitten, but they were fun bites.
Yeah, yeah.
We're trying to wean her off of that.
Or it could turn into we have to pause the podcast to stop.
Pause.
Oh, that's the name of the pod. You guys.
What's up? That was unnecessary.
Necessary.
This is mostly an audio medium, so
he's a good baby.
You're right. The dog has changed the dynamic in here.
I love the Howard Dean button. That thing's amazing.
We got lots of buttons. Someone's
actually the dog.
Someone say
that was the dog. Was
someone
dog
say
farting.
The C word.
Which one?
Cooter?
That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Nah, yeah, you know the one. I'm not going to do it.
A couple of cunts over
ah!
here.
Ah! We have a dinger.
Aww.
You know, in our show when that happens, we just in unison say,
sorry Mom.
Aww.
Please tell me you guys don't do that on another podcast.
No, we do. It's on the Sorry
we
Mom podcast.
No!
We apologize for nothing on this podcast.
Yeah, my mom listens to our show, so we have to apologize a lot.
His mom.
My mom does not listen to mine.
Same here.
My mom has never been to one of my shows either.
Yeah, my mom's
purposely.
Never seen me. We
my
did
a
show. Remember, we did a show in the town my mom lives in, and she did not come.
She's like, I'm
like on purpose, or you didn't tell her about the show, or was she just?
Oh,
like,
she knew. She knew.
Was she embarrassed? Was she like, my son does stand up?
My Aunt Barb came because my Aunt Barb's the swinging hip one.
Yeah,
but. My mom didn't give
a shit.
This
might hurt both of you, but both your moms gave our podcast a 5-star review on iTunes.
God damn it!
The day my mom knows what a podcast is or how to access one will be a crazy
fucking
day.
How old's your mom?
Day. It's like 55.
That's not even that
time
old,
time to learn.
Dude. Yeah.
Learning annex courses.
56? No, my mom won't.
South Boston Community College.
Like, my mom's one of those moms that is just like, I need you to come here and do this website thing for me. I'm like, all right, well, here, let me show you how to do it. She's like, don't.
That's
just,
my dad's job.
Just
in the
do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but now if there's a problem, you could have it fixed. She's like, it's not happening. Nope.
Yeah. I think our generation is going to be the first one that truly keeps up with technology because it's so important to
you
our
think
lives.
So?
Yeah, the generation before us.
Did you have a Vine account, did you?
Yeah, I got rid of it.
But you don't think it's going to change by the time we are like in our 60s to the point where it gets away from us? Yeah. We're like, I don't know how to work these holograms.
Because I think that we'll keep up with it because we actually recognize the importance, whereas people from the analog generation, it happened so fast they didn't see it coming.
There's a while you'll quit.
You're and the thing about a lot of technology is it's just getting easier to use.
Sure.
Like, there's not going to be much of a learning curve to throwing on glasses that tell you everything about the person
you're
talking to.
I'm going
to
pull out computer with implants.
I hope you always pull out.
Like, once implants become a thing, I'm going to be father. Like, I'm out.
To have kids.
I like that. That was good.
Okay. Implant. Yeah, that's...
Once shit becomes implanted, I'm like, I'm out. I can't do that.
There are so many people that are so in it. My friend Zane is like, we're going to get these neural webs. Like, you're not putting a computer in me. I don't. I'm down with holding one, but you're not putting it in me.
And then that's when a whole portion of society is just so much more advanced than the rest of us.
Well, that is what will happen, but I'm like, I'm not fucking doing it. And then when the machines rise up and they start fucking with those implants, like, we'll be the only people left.
Living in the horror film, It's what's the fucking movie where they kill everybody for 12 hours once a week?
The Purge.
Once a year? The Purge. Yeah, we'll be the people who are in The Purge who don't wear masks because we don't have the implants.
I haven't seen The Purge.
I'm going to get the implant scary, just to not be computer murdered when it comes around.
Yeah, or if you don't have the neural implant, you might not know how to react to them, and you might be the first to get murdered by them. And
ooh,
the neural
good point.
That's true.
The sheeple neural guys will be like, oh, we won't have to kill them, and they'll kill us, right?
It's very like Borg. I'm not into
it. Guys, it's been fun. I mean, I'm going to say bye to Jeff May at this point.
I've really
enjoyed you a lot.
I've gone on it. Like, I wouldn't mind being that sort of like Mad Maxian, like, just fucking put me on the dune buggy and I'll just ride along the desert.
I don't think most of it's dune buggying. I think a lot of it's like, I'm thirsty as fuck and everybody's dying.
No, I'll be one of those dune buggy guys that has water.
Eating lizards off really rocks, down, ripping their heads off.
I'll get that killer instinct.
Okay. Yeah, once you're in the desert.
Oh, God.
Amazingly, this all still kind of ties into what we're talking about today, because we started talking about moms, and then we got into talking about technology, and those are
pornography.
Two things, those are two things that play way into true crime, because goddamn do moms love true crime, but so do I.
Fair enough.
One of my favorite fucking things. Technology, as we get through this, technology plays such a huge part in the true crime industry that's happening right now.
In the fiction part, you mean, or like the actual real?
The actual true crime, like the investigation discovery kind of bubble that I think is forming and will burst at some point. A lot of that is technology driven.
Now, I'm pretty medium on true crime. Like, I don't not care. Like, if it's on, I'll watch it, but I don't hunt anything down. Like, I'm not that into it, but it is very like...
But will you subscribe to our podcast?
That's the real important question.
That's the big important question.
One star on iTunes. Ooh.
Dick.
No, but it is one of those things where I totally get
it.
As a person who is, I'm a big fan of like comics and science fiction. Yeah. I totally get why people are all of a sudden getting into it. It's like having comic book fandom grow. Like true crime fandom, it's very similar to that. It has its own... like literary kind of feel to it. It's very sort of beginning of the story, middle of the story, ending of the story. Like things can get wrapped up pretty well. Or if it's a mystery forever, that's also fascinating. So like I get why people
I reject mysteries entirely. I don't like them.
No.
Yeah, no, I want to know.
How are you doing, about life?
Like there's a true crime show called Disappeared, and it's the most frustrating of all the true crime shows because it's just about people who vanished and they never found out what happened to them. And the ending is always unsatisfying.
I don't know. See you next week.
It's like that guy probably did it, but that's police don't care anymore.
But that's a very Unsolved Mysteries kind of way of doing it where
you're
also putting out that information. It's like you're hanging posters up everywhere to help solve a crime by doing a show like that.
The other thing about true crime that I think makes it so popular is it's a format that can cross into different mediums. Like it plays really well in magazines. Like a lot of really Vanity Fair, like really big publications. True crime
Rolling is a, Stone covers
is a yeah, thing, big yeah. Playboy. Like it's a big
it's
part
an
of
indulgence.
All of their
like,
stuff.
I just
yeah.
need to know.
But then
I
also
read Playboy
TV
for the murder
movies. Yeah, exactly.
Well I masturbate to the murder pictures.
I masturbate to the idea of you guys doing that.
Yeah.
Time.
So we're gonna talk about some of the myths about true crime today. And some of the realities of true crime.
Well, because it's interesting because it is like the other thing about true crime is like when you're hearing these stories, you're like, this is fucked up. Like this person straight up got murdered by this other person and they're doing a play of it.
Oh, there's so much of that. There's so not even just that. Here's another fucked up layer to that is often the murderer, when they get off, especially in like the 1920s ish, would then get hired to be in plays playing a murderer
or
a version of themselves.
Cold case.
The fact that you get rewarded for that. Like, yeah, it's like you become a celebrity because of this.
It's a whodunit.
But it's like,
he did.
No one cares about the moral. It's gross. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we get mad when OJ writes an If I Did It book.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't found guilty, right? So he can write that
book. He wasn't in civil suit.
In civil suit. There's a documentary series about the OJ civil suit now, which is fucking fascinating. Because I don't know anything about the civil suit.
Yeah, well, the civil suit is the one that made him broke for the rest of his life, basically.
Yeah, well, he hid some of that.
It turned him into a real criminal.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Eventually, yeah. It turned him into a legitimate
for the civil suit, OJ,
crew.
We'd have Naked Gun 44 and a fourth, and we'd be killing it.
Oh, Detective Norbit, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing about that, too, is that Goldman made sure that he would he did everything to make sure every penny OJ earned was then immediately lost.
Yeah.
Like, that was this dude's crusade for the rest of his life, was to make sure.
His son was viciously murdered, so, yeah. I mean, I could see that being a...
Stands to reason, right? But that might be the...
With your
path you go down.
Pringles guy mustache.
Are we all pretty in agreements that, like, OJ did it? Is it general consensus, like, that OJ did it? Or?
Well, you know, I for a long time thought maybe his kid did it.
I've heard that theory a lot.
OJ's kid did it? Oh,
yeah.
And then OJ was kind of trying to cover for him for a minute, and then...
I never heard that. Yeah,
and it's not a completely crazy theory, but there was another documentary they did that kind of examined that theory that after watching that, I was like, yeah, OJ probably did it. I think there was more than one person there.
Really?
Which isn't like everyone said, really, when you say that, that's not that crazy. That two
Sometimes
people would participate in a murder?
I go with the murder suicide story, which is that Nicole Brown murdered Ron Goldman and then stabbed herself like 55 times.
People don't
that
get that
is good logic, right?
Maybe
there.
An owl did it.
Ooh.
That's a callback to
That was me doing my owl impression.
That's
Ooh.
A callback to last week's episode of our true crime podcast where I argued with Aphrodite Jones about whether an owl was guilty for a murder that a guy went to prison for.
Ooh.
And what did you guys say? It was who done it?
Who? I don't get it, Jeff.
From your thing.
How many licks does it take to the center of this mystery?
I thought of a Tootsie. That's all I think of owls, you know.
That's
who and Tootsie references. The movie with, who was the actor? Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman.
That's right.
So, yeah, let's talk about goddamn true crime.
Well, I mean, if you're in a curse about it.
I'm going to. Where do you think it's... do you think Unsolved Mysteries was the first
I think Unsolved
true
Mysteries
crime
was
show?
The first big mainstream
yeah.
true crime.
Because there were TV shows like Dragnet and Law and Order and shit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, America's Most Wanted and Unsolved Mysteries really kind of came up almost concurrently.
Yeah.
And John Walsh... You know, for good reason. Robert Stack was just an actor. John Walsh was like, my fucking kid was killed.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure that people that do shit like this are going to get punished for it.
Didn't they only find his kid's head, or did they never find the head?
It's one of the two. That's why I don't even like those stories.
Good thing you host a true crime podcast.
I know. It's the biggest irony
here. I'm
taking
notes, new topic for next week.
Yeah, fuck you, buddy. Like, no, I really... Yeah,
the John kids.
The John Walsh story was really, really terrifying. And then when Molly Bish in Massachusetts was also kidnapped, she was a young lifeguard, and his kid was killed in Massachusetts as well. So it was really this tied it together thing when they found her remains. It was this, you know, obviously like this big national thing. But I think I would put Unsolved Mysteries there, but they also were true crime and also weird shit too.
Yeah,
at this
right. There's alien abduction and weird trippy stuff.
I might put America's Most Wanted as a much more proactive version of that. But Unsolved Mysteries really does sort of hold up.
And then
longer.
I think probably Forensic Files is one of the really early true crime shows as we know them now.
Well, Dateline did a lot of
Dateline
stuff too, and they've been forever.
Current Affair. Yeah.
Forensic Files had that fucking narrator who just died a couple years ago.
Harry Carey.
Yep.
Hi, everybody. They found the body over here. It's covered in blood.
There were a couple times watching Forensic Files when I was high on the wrong drugs.
Oh, God.
And I was like, I got to turn this off.
Oh,
this guy is fucking scaring the shit out of me describing this story.
Wasn't Stacy Keach narrating some crime show that we're watching? It was like, what the fuck?
I thought it was Unsolved Mysteries.
Unsolved Mysteries was either Robert Stack or Dennis Farina.
This might be odd as the research guy for our show, but I don't watch any true crime shows or documentaries whatsoever.
Really?
All my information comes from books and articles and stuff because I can't watch
yep.
it.
First I got scolded for
yeah.
First I got scolded yeah, for all, not liking crime, and then you confess like I don't even watch
those things because they freak me the fuck out.
Yeah, why did you guys negative. Even do this
oh,
show?
It's fun.
We're forcing
it's like forcing ourselves to eat something too spicy and
what
sour.
What else can we viciously make fun of for an hour and 15 minutes every week?
Yeah, and you get like a perspective of two dudes that don't like crime. They're like, that's really mean to do to someone, and so it's fun.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too because
for buying that.
I can't watch like those murder. I can't watch police procedurals where they're all about like let's invent. Or for me, hospital shows where it's like a house or that kind of stuff. I just end up thinking I'm going to die every 5 seconds.
Really?
But reading, so fiction I can read about anything. I just can't watch it.
Yeah.
Like if Two Girls, One Cup came in a book form, I would have read it fine. But I couldn't get through 3 seconds. Write that
book. Would subtitles.
And have. Yeah. It's called subtitles, dog. They have it in Braille.
Two girls, one novella.
That I'd be into that.
That'd be something different to watch them eat a novella together.
So here's the thing about true crime, though. Research has shown that crime TV shows have a very significant effect on viewers' opinions. They make them more fearful of crime.
Totally.
And more conservative in their views of the criminal justice system, which really bad time for true crime to be as huge as it is now with that taken into account.
Why? What's the problem?
You mean it makes people like think for more conservative, like more harsher penalties and
yes.
meaner, yeah. Oh, draconian rules, like hang him, kill him. Oh, that's
yeah.
gross.
Yeah,
that's no good for
very
people.
Very Hammurabi coming in there.
That is
an eye for an eye.
Bad coincidence we have going on in our country
I've
right
noticed
now.
In my friends that watch a lot of the like CSI kind of shows and all that stuff, their paranoias about their family members and weird stuff that they bring up. It's blown my mind like where they go with like their problem solving. Like, what if my dad does this? And then you're like, oh, you watch way too much drama where people murder each other. And it gets in your psyche.
As a person who doesn't watch a lot of this stuff, but I'm also very small town originally, mm-hmm. I'm very trusting of stuff. Like, I leave my doors unlocked, generally speaking.
And that's how every one of these shows start.
Of course.
It was a small town where no one locked their
Jeff
doors.
Jeff May's address is 5233 Burbank Avenue.
There was a serial killer that was one of the things that he said when they interviewed him was that, like, he would go to houses, and if the door was locked, he'd feel that he wasn't welcome there. And then if the door was unlocked, he felt like they were asking him to come in and be the murderer there. And that was his, like...
You kind of are.
Isn't that creepy?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I don't think
but
Jeff's
then there's
doing
things
that.
Like...
You're safe with me.
But, like, there's even events where, like, when... And Raquel's very the opposite. She locks everything up. She's a small... blonde girl, like, of course.
Yeah.
She'll be doing the laundry downstairs in the laundry room. She'll go downstairs, but before she does, when she leaves, even if she has like a huge she'll lock me into the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like, that's wrong. That's a wrong.
Mm-hmm. I do that. Like, I'll lock Angie in if I'm going.
But I'm like, if
somewhere.
Anybody's going to be able to handle a murderer,
it's you.
It's Angie. Yeah,
I'm like, you shouldn't be locked out.
Let the listeners take note. Those things are big.
It's you four stories up through. Cement and glass and walls.
Punching your way through
that, it. I think the lock is probably the least of the concern if she's getting murdered in the laundry room.
But it is one of those things where I'm like, hey, you know, it's probably to your best interest to not lock this if there's a murderer involved. So that
yeah, could, at least you'd get back in
get
quicker.
Back
when I leave, I lock my wife in the house, but that's just to keep her from like getting new ideas or
yeah,
thoughts.
Or yeah, or talking to other dudes.
No books, all right?
Yeah.
I lock her back in her iron mask.
I don't want her to get friends and then suddenly be like, oh, well, they tell me that you're not doing the right thing.
Or meet a real man.
Mm-mm. But
no,
it is.
No.
I am, though, like...
No way.
And because when
never
you look
met
at these, and when you tie into... Like, what you were saying, though, like, I'm small town. I come from a town of 12,000. Mm-hmm. Like, I spent the majority of my life in that small town.
Sounds like you're the serial killer.
I'm like a melon camp. So, like, leaving my doors unlocked, like, that's like a thing that's like a regular
occurrence. Yeah, you'd seem weird
if
you locked it, right? People are like, what are you, paranoid?
It really does weird me out a little bit. Like, I most of the time forget to lock my car.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to steal, but, like, I'm surprised my shit hasn't been stolen or windows smashed in or something, like... I'm very sort of small town naive.
Jeff May buys a blue Nissan Sentra, license plate 473 FK5.
How dare you say I buy a blue Sentra?
Really?
Dare you?
Is that insulting?
You don't want to know what I drive?
A blue Sentra. And that's what
John's
Jeff May
wearing
learned.
Blue right now.
Yeah. John's wearing a blue Sentra.
I'm wearing a blue Sentra. I gained a little. I have to wear this car as a T-shirt.
Here's another thing with true crime. It also makes people think the crime rate is actually way higher than it is. There was a Purdue University study in 2009 that found that people who watch Cops estimated that 2.5 times more real life deaths happened due to murder than people who didn't watch Cops. So it skews.
Is
there
a lot of murder on cops? I thought that was mostly just like
it's not even murders on cops.
Yeah.
Well, no, I've seen a.
But you see crime.
They find a knife and.
But you're watching a documentary of crime for half an hour to an hour at a time, and usually cops is never. By the way, cops are like fish. Like it's never one. It's a school of cops.
Never of the show cops.
There's always three hours of cops.
Oh, sure.
You're never going to see one episode of cops out there in the wild.
You get inebriated and you keep going.
And so you see a consistent amount of crime coming across your face. So if that's the only images that are being flashed in front of your face, yeah, that makes sense.
It gets into your psyche, and then if someone randomly asks you about crime, you're going to be like, oh, there's a lot of it.
Yeah, because you've been watching a lot of them.
Yeah. There's 300 million people in our country.
If you're watching cops, it's sort of like you'd think that your opinion of the rate of shirtlessness and long hair would go up significantly. But
yeah,
murder.
But it's also like the idea of pop culture influencing the idea of killer clowns. There's been one.
Right.
But how many people
and
are
one
actually,
great movie?
And he was a great painter, so let's pick something to, you know.
But like for sure, like other than Gacy, like Gacy's the one that actually did exist. And yet people have a fundamental fear of clowns as violent entities.
Well, I think It has something to do with that, too.
But there's been shit even before It where clowns were, like, terrifying.
Well, yeah, because you can't tell what their face is. Their face is smiling even when they're crying. It's fucked up.
Clowns are just inherently scary in a lot of ways.
There's something primarily evil and creepy to certain people about someone's having their face covered yet not covered.
You ever seen the irony Clown House?
No.
That's a terrifying ass movie.
Yeah, see?
You ever been to JoJo's Clown Room?
Good point. Killer. You ever see Killer Clowns
from Outer Space?
Have you ever
I own it on
around
DVD
with your
and
friends?
VHS.
I drove with clown makeup once in a car just for fun.
I know someone who does clown stuff on the weekends for money.
I have a painting of a clown.
I was a juggalo for a while.
Wait, what?
Wait a second.
Okay, so new topic for the pod.
You were
what is a juggalo? I don't know, but I'm down with the clown and I'm down for life, yo.
Were you? I'm probably
the most educated person to own all six ICP Juggalo cards.
Do you have
cards?
Yeah, each the first six albums were the six Joker cards that do the summoning of the Dark Carnival.
I feel like
come
I'm
on, guys,
a
you guys don't know
you
your insane
lately.
Clown posse lore.
Lately, I feel like I'm learning about you right now.
Okay, what's your favorite?
This is fantastic.
Fago
been friends for like 10 years.
What never had Fago.
Just coming out of the clown closet all of a sudden on me, like what?
But one of my comedian dreams is to play The Gathering. That's like I desperately want to do that.
Why? So they can stone you to death,
dude. I speak their language.
Yeah,
so
they can call you
like. I grew up in Sacramento near the river. I mean, I might have a degree, but I also know people.
That's what a curveball.
That's neat. That's certainly neat.
I remember.
Well, the Juggalos themselves have turned into kind of a curveball.
I'm telling
now.
You, they're the wildlings of that from Game of Thrones.
Oh, they're like great.
They've all
of
a sudden.
That's so great. They're the wildlings. It's so accurate.
They just got brought into the fold of being like, now you're fighting for this good side now.
Well, they've always just been like, they've been what happens when disaffected white people just like get into rap and that's it.
You know,
nothing else happens.
What's great, Raquel went down a very deep rabbit hole of and she like, there was like a lot of stories of like juggalos maiming each other, but like consent maiming each other, like cutting fingers off and stuff like that.
Maiming. Yeah, they're into body mods.
Like it's fucking insane.
They don't seem like they have good enough hygiene to be cutting each other up. That's the thing.
I mean,
there's a lot of time spent in the mud. That's true.
You know what I mean?
I remember they used to come in the ICP and or Twisted would come
they
in
just played the Roxy.
And perform at like a horror convention in Worcester, Mass. And so you'd see all like horror fans, and then in the background you'd just hear like woofty woof. And you're like, what is happening? It's like hearing a wolf howl when you're alone at night. It's just like, well, that's not a good
sign.
Are
we safe? Should we get out of here? Yeah, that's trippy.
Here's another thing true crimes do. They depict the case closure rates for murders as much higher than they are.
Yeah, fiction does a lot of that.
Yeah,
too,
in reality, well, in most of these episodes, someone's caught in the end, usually.
Except the first 48.
The
right?
first 48. First yeah, 48. Tom Segura's bit about the first 48 is so fucking. Especially the part where he's like, they call it that because after the first 48 hours, they stop trying.
Yeah, they're run out of.
So fucking good.
That's a good show, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a great show.
The guy's running, they're trying to catch him, and it hits. It's like 40, 47, 59.
Wait, Adam, does that show go in with what we're talking about, the statistic? Or does the first 48 kind of like break that mold and show people like it's not always that cut and dry?
No, the first 48 on that show, if they don't, like a lot of times that episode just ends and they're like, If you guys got any ideas, reach out.
The show's asking the public. And by the way, we didn't catch the guy. So if you guys know anything.
They should. I think if any show.
It's very realistic.
But what I'm asking is, does that show fit into the mold of what you're saying with the statistics?
I don't think
because that show doesn't show.
I don't think they probably would go that deep into the.
Okay.
To that show, the specific show, but I know what you're saying. Like
that show's not affecting people
that
watch
the first 48. If they have a slightly more realistic view,
yeah, maybe that's what I'm
probably
saying.
I would say a little bit, but
yeah.
Surprisingly, they caught the Comedy Store shooter.
They did.
Yeah, it was. They took his whole gang down on a RICO case.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Dark Knight doing it or?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was actually Jaden Smith in the white Batman suit.
Yep.
I like that.
Sneaks around the black Comedy Store really well with that suit on.
How can you be dead if I have no gun? And it's like, that's a weird tweet to have.
In 2012, 62.5% of murder cases were cleared. And that just means that suspects were arrested, charged, and turned over to prosecutors. So that's not even...
Doesn't mean that they were found guilty.
Convictions, right.
Woo! So there's at least 38% that didn't even get that far.
Right, right. That was...
That's called Chicago.
Yeah, well, I mean that... Like
a lot of gang violence is never solved because people won't talk to cops. Not that all crime is gang violence, but like there's a lot of people that just won't talk to cops.
Hey, speaking of that, crime shows are also riddled with problems of representation and racial stereotypes of the criminal justice system.
That is also true. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing, though. I feel like if you watch enough Investigation Discovery, you'll start to feel like maybe it's just white people who are the problem.
Yeah, well...
Because they have so many shows and they cover such specific types of crimes that it's always like dudes killing their wives for insurance money.
White people got poison
shit
on lock.
Yeah, yeah.
They got insurance murders on lock.
Driving their kids into a lake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Killing your own family is like very white.
Well, it's just different social problems for different areas, you know, of economics. So it's like, oh, so you got it all made. Everyone's got their jobs and their cars and all that stuff in that culture. And, you know, you're not happy there and you're going to drive your kids into a lake. And then if you go to another culture, you'd be like, you have a different socioeconomic
problem.
Yeah,
if you're not in a
problem.
Gang, you have to kill somebody. You might as well be a family member or something.
That's what I always think when I'm in a good neighborhood. Like, the people that murder here are generally just husbands or wives murdering each other. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I remember a friend of mine from school, when I was in like fourth or fifth grade, his dad was a divorce lawyer. And crime was like so non-existent in my town. And this fucking guy murdered his wife, murdered the lawyer who was like this kid I went to schools with dad, and then shot himself. Like that was my introduction to crime in my town. It was my friend's dad getting fucking double murder suicide.
Yeah.
It's such a weird like conclusion of like, how am I going to solve this problem? Like violent conflict resolution at that point. You're like, wouldn't you just like get a divorce or leave or go to... There's so much other things to do.
It's funny too, because you're right about socioeconomic issues being a thing where you can deal with... I remember we had one kid whose father was got out of prison and then was murdered and found in a trunk.
Oh.
Ooh.
After he got out, like he'd served his time and finally got free and then...
And then he must have gotten something wrong, but they fucking found him in a trunk.
What kind of car?
Blue Nissan Sentra.
Yeah, I know.
Son of a bitch! Good callback, John Chesky.
Set, spike.
But like, there's like...
I'm my hands up here. Thank you.
But there is...
Sorry!
It does seem that there's that interesting level of like white people murder. It's very TV show centric.
Well, the thing about this statistic or this anecdote here, and by the way, shout out to Ashley Bess for helping out with the research this one. But I didn't do that last week when I feel unfair. A 2004 study found that blacks are shown as suspects 40 to 50% more often than as victims. They also found whites are about twice as likely to be shown as victims rather than offenders. Furthermore,
that's because we have a victim mentality.
Furthermore, the study notes, even if blacks are not shown disproportionately as offenders compared to whites, their portrayals still reinforce the stereotype of the young black male criminal. But I'd be interested to see how true crime demographics in terms of victims and suspects have changed in the 13 years since then.
Because the other part too is a lot of crime does happen in a lot of the crime that they would be like murders and situations like gangland stuff. It's in urban areas where that stereotype does exist.
Right.
Like, and especially,
it's an actual statistic,
and especially among crime. Like, I understand it's not totally PC to say that, but fucking, you're more than likely to find murders in South Central Los Angeles. Like, it's a thing.
But
like,
that's even then when they're like, if you think of all the really high profile crime, true crime documentaries from the past few years, they're all white.
Oh, yeah.
Killers. But there are a couple that involve black dudes who were the killers.
I get excited when I see like a black serial killer. I'm like, go get them, guys.
But even
show
in,
everyone.
Even in that case.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Even in the case of both of those, you come out the other end going, fuck white people. Jesus Christ. Because there's one called Tales of the Grim Sleeper, which is about a serial killer blocks from here.
Yeah.
In South Central Los Angeles.
That's a good one.
Who the police knew not only had committed all these crimes in the past, but then started killing again. And this carried on for like 8 to 10 years. They finally told the community that there was a serial killer.
Wait, why didn't they stop him? What was going on?
Wasn't he killing? He was killing like prostitutes.
He was killing prostitutes in South Central, so they just didn't give a shit. Jesus. And they think this guy could have killed like 150 women. Like, they have no idea. And it's because the police were just like, yeah, but
we have crimes of actual.
Yeah, we
people.
Have actual crimes to investigate.
Yeah, it's so weird.
And then to top it off, they didn't even tell. Yeah. Like, they
the prostitute
at least tell
population.
The prostitutes.
Well, that's it's
that a, there's someone, it, and I'm sure word of mouth got around among prostitutes. But in a set like in a industry like prostitution, there's new girls showing up every day.
It's funny that we haven't heard about that. I haven't heard about that crime, and yet Jack the Ripper, who only killed like 20 people,
so,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hundreds of years later, we're just like, oh, it was terrifying. You're like, oh, 2 weeks ago, some. It's just it's
well,
just
some
crazy.
Of it's some of it's just marketing. So a lot of our we've done a lot of stories about the Old West.
Uh-huh.
And a ton of, you know, you look at some guys, you go, why isn't this person's story as big as, say, Wyatt Earp's story? Because Wyatt Earp's family were like, let's market Wyatt Earp.
Oh, going back to what you're saying, like, sensational, like, yeah. Celebrities, basically.
There's so many Old West people who are as interesting or more interesting stories than Wyatt Earp or some of those, or Billy the Kid or some of those guys. But you just never heard of them because there wasn't a marketing team behind them.
Yeah.
Same thing with Jack the Ripper. Someone was probably like, oh, this guy's interesting.
Yeah, the Ripper's a cool
name.
Well,
Jack the Ripper was also never technically caught.
No, sure.
And that leaves a lot.
Tim Burton solved it, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, but that's a good point.
Alan Moore?
It was Johnny Depp the whole time.
There's another documentary called A Murder in the Park. And that one is about this case where that one, at the end of it, the Innocence Project, which I think have been like we held them up as kind of heroes in a lot of cases for freeing innocent people from prison. Yeah. They basically, if you watch that documentary, it's pretty clear that they freed the guilty man.
Ooh.
And their investigators, not police, their investigators coerced another guy into confessing. Ooh. And that dude, I think, maybe just got out of prison. But it is the saddest case. The state released this other guy just because the Innocence Project recorded this coerced confession and sent it to a news station. The police didn't even investigate it. They were like, oh, shit, we fucked up. When do the police do that?
I bet they do it all the time nowadays.
Well, they do it when it's one black guy and another black guy.
Yeah.
Like, then they're just like, okay, that's a fair trade-off. We'll just put the other guy. Man. And they're both. So, like, even in those cases. So, my point is I'd be interested to see how these numbers have changed over the years.
There was also that crossover, too. I think it's funny that in the world of true crime, the thing that really sort of led to the polarization of the country was a fucking podcast.
Serial, yeah.
Serial was Serial might as well have been Pumpkin Spice. Like, it was that.
Yeah, it was.
Massive. It was that widespread. Did you listen to Serial?
No, I didn't listen to Serial. I barely even did it.
Nope.
I didn't either.
You didn't?
I don't have an interest in seriousness either. We make fun of your friend's dad, all the weird stuff people do. I would never do that story because my uncle had a story that he passed to us that was about a friend of his that we ripped so hard that my uncle wrote me very upset, being like, you know, that guy was my friend, right? We're like, yeah, sorry, you probably shouldn't have told me.
And we actually felt butterflies in our stomach and felt bad. Yeah.
Was
You're I don't even watch Game of Thrones. Like, I don't like seeing people suffer. I don't like seeing people like hearing, oh, then so and so had got raped, and then
why
this guy
do
had his head.
Do your podcast
because it's fun to like joke about, like, you know,
because most of the stories happened a long time ago.
Crime makes me uncomfortable.
And so, yeah, yeah. That's why I'm here every week to do. No.
The discomfort is part of the fun.
Oh yeah, but I love it now. Now I'm addicted to the morbid stuff. Tell me the grossest.
That being said, like,
John's actually murdered people recently.
I've been murdered. You ever see Sixth Sense? I'm a ghost.
Serial. Don't touch me. Okay.
You're so warm, and I don't mean personally. I mean
Serial was a phenomenon for a reason because it was so fascinating, and it was the entire case was unfolding in real time. Like, you'd listen to an episode over the week, and then the host would literally spend the next week continuing her research, going through that. It's 1,000 I know it's a different podcast, and so fuck it, but but like. It's 100% worth giving a listen to because there's so much stuff covered. And then the side note to that is fucking watch American Vandal. Like, if you haven't seen American Vandal, it satires true crime. It satires stuff like Serial.
I watched it, but the acting was so bad.
Perfectly. Yeah, I thought it was trash.
I was told it's amazing, and I have a couple of friends that are in it that I want to support.
I watched the first episode. I just thought it was really poorly done and not that funny.
It satires this whole system so perfectly, and the way everything is tied together.
Except for the casting, apparently.
The casting sucked. Or the directing.
Yeah.
The directing, no offense.
All those things matter.
You watch it, and you're like, how did you let them do that and say that's the take we're going to use?
It was so bad. I didn't think it was that bad.
I haven't seen it.
You ever see Spinal Tap?
I don't see things.
You ever see Spinal Tap?
It was good. Yeah.
You guys know Spinal Tap, right?
Yeah.
You watch the acting in Spinal Tap, you feel like those actors are those characters. You watch a show like American Vandal, and you're like, those are some comedian actors. They're trying to make a sketch. Like,
they're clearly pretending.
Well, I know Ryan O'Flanagan's in it.
Ryan's great.
Ryan's great, but I still don't
know. That's not going to carry the whole movie.
It's fucking, it's so
good.
Shout
out to Ryan O'Flanagan! Guys, go see American Vandal. Our friend Ryan's in it. It's
good. You know what?
How much cocaine did you do on the way
in? I don't do cocaine.
This is normal.
I had a little maca, though. I had a little maca root.
Yeah.
Listen. I had a chocolate smoothie at Whole Foods. I will shout out to them, but that shows it's worth watching. Our friends
it satirizes true crime documentaries in such a goofy but brilliantly clever way that's layered in multiple ways that sort of peeled away over the course of the series, and it's a couple hours of watching, but it's like a very roller coastery thing. And as you're watching it, it's funny, but it's also brilliantly written.
Yeah.
Like whoever wrote it and the way they wrote it fucking knocked it out of the park, because the whole thread of the entire thing is just done so well. And I think it was really one of the first true crime spoofs of all.
And I think it was really one of the
dog really really brings a new element to this podcast.
It's great though, right?
It is. Yeah. It's fun.
It's great. It's
like, welcome to our professional studio with a dog.
It's like we got a bodega cat now. So yeah, let's talk about forensic science. That's such a huge part of why true crime is huge now. There's a show just called CSI, which is just, that's
I've never heard
forensic
of that
teams. CSI, one of the big misconceptions that they push is that that forensic investigators are cops, and they're not. They're
like gun-toting cops that are fighting with the criminals as well.
Yeah, like they're going to be in scraping skin cells off the wall and then have to chase a perp down the block while holding a lab.
They're jujitsu nerds.
Yeah, it's just scientists, basically.
It's always just like, it's like Dexter, right? It's all like Dexter.
Have you seen NCIS SDSUV on Adult Swim?
No, I have not.
It's a Naked Gun style parody of CSI, and it's amazing, and they make fun of everything about CSI and crime shows.
Is it as good as American Vandal?
Ryan O'Flanagan
Nothing
is the star.
Is as good
Go
as American
see
Vandal.
It immediately.
I've never seen it, but I just trust Jeff so much. But nothing's as good as it.
I can see how Jeff can appreciate that show through the structure of the show and other parts. Like, I like, Orange is the New Black because of how the stories combine. I'm like, they weave it.
I hate that show.
But the dialogue's awful. Let's get back on track.
Yeah, let's get back on track.
I'm so sorry.
But there is a lot of reliance on forensics being like the thing that always cracks the case.
Right. It's interesting you bring that up, because this really speaks to how true crime skews people's opinion of the justice system. Less than 1% of all serious crimes are solved by DNA. and fingerprints are just a little bit better.
And a little bit dodgy, too, like fingerprints. Right. Like
well, DNA in a lot of cases, too.
Yeah. Is that budget-wise, or is that just because the technology doesn't apply to most cases? They don't need it.
I think it's a thing that you don't get in a lot of cases.
Let's rob this house, but first I need to come.
Well, it's talked about in the past where they're like, they found hair, they found the victim's hair on his shirt. It's like, well, if it's his fucking wife, there's always going to be her fucking hair on her shirt.
You'd make a good lawyer, by the
way. I always have Raquel's hair on me at all times.
I keep my wife hairless for that perfect reason.
Yeah. Wives and pets.
Stay inside the house. Don't have any hair.
If that were the case, everyone would think I murdered two cats and a blonde every day the way I walk around.
Two cats and a blonde.
I still kind of think you did.
Yeah, there is. So, yeah, that I thought the less than 1%. I think that's really interesting because that's a thing
that stops me from committing crimes, but now I know I can do it.
Well, that DNA and cell phones to me are the two things that really spawned true crime television because they led to a lot of arrests in cases where people didn't realize they could get away with the shit they used to be able to get away with. If you watch early episodes of Forensic Files, it's really intriguing for 55 minutes. And then in the last minute, you find out, actually, this investigation took like 3 days. And then we just got their cell phone records.
Yeah.
And we were able to be like, no, you were there. You had your phone on, dummy. You just didn't know. That's how cell phones work. There's so many episodes that end that way. And DNA was the same thing, where it's just technology that caught up to criminals.
The other aspect of that, too, is you say that 1% with DNA and forensic stuff like that. But that's also because a lot of stuff is already solved by interviews and dealing with witnesses.
Or coerced like confessions.
Yeah, but they don't have to get to the DNA.
Right.
Because it's cut off before you need
it. Right, but that's the thing. These shows make it seem like before DNA, no crimes were getting solved. And just all of a sudden, it was this boon to law enforcement. It changed things for a while, but I feel like it's just another thing that criminals are going to catch up to. Now you know you can't
change your DNA real quick before you go on a crime.
Yeah, well, exactly. Bring someone else's with you.
You're so smart.
Or, take your battery out of your phone. That's how we got Bin Laden.
One of our
is that really his phone?
Yeah, no. One of his guys didn't take his battery out of his phone, and that's how we figured it out.
Is that a lesson on phones or hiring better help?
Even if your phone is off, if your battery's in it, it can be traced. But if you remove the battery from your phone, it cannot be traced. That is literally how we got Bin Laden.
What kind of phone do you have? Android or?
It was probably a flippy.
iPhone.
Metro PCS.
Get an Android again.
Yeah, iPhone
was,
X already.
It was also
the official phone of terror.
It was also one of his dudes that did it. Like, how bad of a day at work is it?
You got
all your friends killed.
Well, they're all in heaven now with virgins, so they're fine.
Yeah.
We did an episode about Orange County couple that was super aggressive lawyer parents.
God, they were pieces of shit.
And long story boring, the mom thought that a volunteer at the school had called her son retarded when her mom said that he had lined up slow after recess that day. And she went on a year-long campaign to ruin her life that culminated with her and her husband planting drugs in the woman's car and trying to frame her for having drugs on campus. And
I've heard of this.
And the way they got busted, the way they got caught was that when the phone calls that tipped it off, they traced that call, and then they traced their cell phones to figure out that they were placed within the vicinity of the woman's home. And they just did triangulation. Bam,
yeah.
We got you.
Yeah, there's so many cases that are solved that way because people just don't get how technology works. I think we'll find a lot of, and we kind of are, you'll find a lot of internet crimes too, where people fucked up on the internet somehow.
Oh, that guy who killed his kid and then they, by leaving it in the hot car, and then they went through his internet search history and he'd searched, like, how long does it take for your kid to die in a hot car?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he purposely killed him?
Yeah, I mean, his whole argument was like, oh no, my kid died accidentally. And then they started investigating it because he was acting super weird. Dude. And went to his computer stuff, and it was like he looked up how your kid dies in a hot car.
Put your kid up for adoption. You don't have to kill him, you know?
Well, I mean, his wife might have not been as super enthusiastic about adoption.
What? These people have brain tumors, though. I got to get
Can he live? Please. Huh? Can that guy just live his life without you judging him?
Can he just kill a kid without judging him?
Weighed down.
That's the biggest crime is me being a judge. You're like, John, you're so judgmental.
There was a girl in Madison, Wisconsin, where I used to live for a while, who went missing for like 3 days, and then they finally found her in the middle of this field. Just like someone just saw her in the middle of a field, like laying there.
Sure it wasn't a mannequin?
Yeah. Good call.
What about mannequin too?
Kim
Cattrall got killed in Madison, Wisconsin.
No, Kim!
And her story was that she had been abducted and blah, blah, blah. And they went back and found searches on her computer for, like, how to disappear and, like,
yeah,
best places to find a body. And all it, like, it was so obvious that she was faking it. But I think that's another thing that'll trip a lot of people up.
So are you saying, so the statistic of people getting caught from DNA is way less than what we think, but the statistic for people getting caught from their phones is pretty, it's pretty normal. That's how you get caught.
Well, I don't know what the statistic is for that.
Okay.
But I feel like there probably were, but even then, I don't know how many, because like Jeff said, a lot of these things are, the other point that is brought up in the notes is that our justice system is largely a plea bargain kind of system.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
And there's like mandatory minimums and all kinds of shit that really make you not want to take your case to a jury or have the judge decide it. So there's so many plea bargains, and there's also so many false confessions.
There like, are? There's that many of them?
That's the reason Illinois overturned the death penalty, because they had one cop who I think eventually confessed to something like 200 like forced confessions. They have a whole...
That guy was busy.
Well, they have this process in Chicago. They built a whole fucking facility for it. But what Chicago would do is they would get a suspect, and instead of checking them in immediately, they would take them to one jail, interrogate them there, and then once they maybe thought the lawyer was on the way, they would move them. And just make
it. So they made their own loopholes in the law?
They also have the black ops site there too?
Yeah, they built a whole building, because they used to just do it between police stations, and eventually they built this building called, I think it's called Homan. I think Homan is the name, something.
Sounds like a conspiratorial scary thing.
Well, it's like it's a black site, and what they do is they disappear suspects there for hours at a time and
go say fuck it to due process?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Exactly. And
I love how you're still shocked by anything.
You'd know this if you watched any of these true crime.
I'm too busy watching fucking Mighty Boosh and fucking Portlandia. I want to just be happy,
really,
all right?
You know what's really crazy about this is The Good Wife, which is one of my favorite TV shows, but I know it's a show that people under 60 tend to laugh off as grandma shit, but it's actually a really great show. They did an episode about this Chicago black site, like, 2 years before it actually made the news.
Yeah.
So you would have watched that episode and thought, I wonder where they got that from. It was actually fucking happening in Chicago.
It's terrifying.
And it's just a building where they would take people and question them. And if they got a confession there, fuck your lawyer.
Yeah.
Like
you already got him.
Yeah. And so that guy who got 200 false confessions, did they make him turn in all 15 cop of the month plaques on the back end?
Yeah, is he in jail, yeah, or did what happened to him? Did he just get
I doubt he went to jail. Yeah. He's a cop.
And this was in
they never go to jail.
And this was, I think, in the 90s or early 2000s too. So it was
he's a priest now. It's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, that's why Illinois overturned their death penalty, because they had such a epidemic of false confessions that they know they run the risk of literally killing dozens of innocent people.
Yeah, it's weird.
Whereas here in California, we voted to speed ours up.
Yep.
Oh, man, aren't we great?
In California.
Most liberal state in the world.
Yeah, that was a major thing on the ballot. There were two ballot measures in the last election. One was to abolish the death penalty. One was to be like, fuck it, let's turn the knob up to 11.
Two separate ones.
And the state pretty resoundingly voted to keep the death penalty and turn up the volume.
Well, how do you turn up the volume? What do you mean,
like make it like basically reduce the ability to appeal, make it streamlined to kill people faster?
Wow,
because we're awesome in California, dude.
Yeah,
we're so cool.
Self-hating California.
Yeah, we're so great.
I like California. I'm proud of this place.
I do. I feel like true crime, though. I've said this before. I feel like it's a bubble that's going to burst soon.
Oh, good.
Because they're...
You mean listen to our show before the bubble bursts!
As a podcast theme? Oh my God,
please
yeah.
tune in!
It's all we have!
Seriously, this is it. Well, before the bubble bursts.
I think that's why so much of it is moving toward people who were wrongly convicted now. Because we've heard all the really good cold cases.
Yeah.
And there's a reason we've heard them and they're not happening anymore. And it's because DNA and cell phones were catching so many people for so long. And now people are hip to that shit. And until there's some new technology... I don't know. I'm sure GPS has put some people away.
Like exoneration.
I should have left my garment at home.
Hey, what?
Exoneration is going to be the new true crime.
Yeah, it's already.
Plan. I mean, it has been. Serial really did. If you get a chance, though, it's definitely worth a listen. That's all I'm saying.
I've heard of it, Jeff.
I know.
Yeah, I know. Jeff.
Hold on, wait. Can you describe the show again from the beginning?
Jeff, you know, while you have crime as your guest, I think it's really important to constantly plug Serial.
Yeah, that's a great call.
It's a great
crime with three eyes.
There's a reason it changed everything.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that that's the thing. A fucking name another podcast that had even close, not counting on popular opinion, because it's top of the heat, baby. No podcast has ever come close to having that level of people talking about it. Like, nothing, ever.
You ever listen to Joe Rogan's podcast,
WTF,
bro?
With Mark Maron?
Oh. Just saying.
Yeah, WTF can't touch what the numbers at Serial. Even the Obama episode of WTF. Like, Serial's numbers were so insane that fucking Pandora bought Serial.
Yeah.
Like that's insane. That's so crazy. And I get that there's other podcasts by comedians that are...
Well, my thing is, I don't like serious podcasts at all. Well, I think they come off very boring and NPR sounding, and I know Serial is a product of NPR, and I just... I can look into that case. If it's that interesting, I can look into it myself.
Don't you want to fall asleep to the details?
Yeah, exactly. There's some of that with me. It's not that I'm just being cocky and like, this is the best podcast. It's just sometimes that...
It's a form of morbid porn. South Park jokes about it. It's a form of morbid porn where you're just like, how did he kill her? What did he do to rape her? Tell me again.
And we don't just do murders.
But that's not the point, because it's not just a narration of things that happened. Yeah. It's the current process that the hosts themselves are going through to research this problem and to try to possibly exonerate this person. It's not just like Cold Case where they look back at a thing that happened. It's this shit is happening right now, and every episode is revealing the new developments that happened over the last week.
The dog just said, fine, she'll watch Serial. Listen to, sorry.
Let me tell you, first of all, on crime with three eyes, we don't only do murders. We do con men. We do thieves.
All the con men are some of the most
pretty scary. Yeah.
We do all types of fun stuff. So we're whimsical with our crimes.
Yeah. Oh, we are too.
Yeah.
We're all.
That's the fun way
to do crimes we talk about and the crimes.
Also, only solved crimes. No unsolved crimes on our show.
See the sense of humor in it? Kind of a Mel Brooks looking at the Silence of the Lambs, and everything's fine. Everyone sleeps well.
That's a good way to describe your podcast. Right? We're Mel Brooks looking at Silence of the Lambs.
Right?
I
mean,
I could never make
God, we should get him on the show. Let's call him right now. Adam, dial him up.
Mel Brooks?
Yeah.
We tried to call Martin Shkreli a couple weeks ago.
Oh, how'd that go?
He didn't answer.
That's so unfortunate.
We should have called him with a phone. I feel. Well, he's in prison now.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He's in prison.
Well, let's see who's got his phone. No, we don't. We don't have to do that.
We could probably give that call. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be crazy if he picked up?
Especially now
he's
if he's
in jail.
In
he's probably chilling, right? So
pulls a phone out of his ass to answer our call.
Oh, okay. Hello. Sorry, I got to get the condom off.
This thing stinks.
Oh God.
Yeah, we can hear how bad
that's not
smells.
What's going to happen to him. He's probably going to have a fine prison experience.
Yeah, he's probably going to be in an Escobar kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, true crime. I feel like it'll go away soon.
Yeah, all the crimes. You're right. How many crimes? And I've listened to you and Caitlin and Carrie, and I'm sure you guys have noticed this too. But like, how many different shows can one crime have? Like, one murder has five different shows.
Yeah, that's
really odd. Caitlin and Carrie told me the same thing. Because we try to do stories you haven't heard before. That's been our main thing, is try to
stay. That was like
the
our pride
path
of our stuff. Like, you haven't heard this one.
And Caitlin was like, no, do some of the hits. Because people love to hear the same story. People want to hear 5,000 versions of the John Wayne Gacy story. It's really weird. Yeah. They're weirdos. They want to hear it so much.
Yeah.
Our listeners are totally cool.
I'm
You're
serious.
Not weird at all.
I'm not kidding. It's morbid porn. Like, people are indulging just like, tell me again what happened. You know?
Yeah.
Did they scream? Did the neighbors not hear? Like, it's like how when you watch a scary movie, people like to be scared, you know? They like to feel, they like to.
I don't watch scary movies.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
But I read one.
I don't enjoy true crime or scary
movies. I
was listening
to a podcast about scary movie listeners.
I only read the books on which scary movies are based.
I read the reviews on IMDb.
Should we do some comments before we get out of here?
Let's do some commands.
Let me.
Let's commence on the comments.
Let me make them a little bigger.
Haley's comment.
From the episode. Oh, wait.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
You know. It's a big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter. I want you to know that's not true. We call this segment Your Voice Matters, where we read your stupid fucking comments from the past few shows
and
respond to them personally. Fade it out, Brett. I feel like we should never explain to new guests who Brett is.
No.
Fade it out, Brett.
Brett died.
Brett's
rest
like
in peace.
Elijah in the Jewish religion. Brett.
So this episode is...
This is the episode called Why the Washington Redskins Will Never Have to Change Their Name.
Featuring Beck Stews.
Because they don't get the NFL on reservations.
Beck Stews. I don't... That's not all of it, but probably part of it.
Big lacrosse areas.
Let's read some comments.
I like that top one.
Greg Maesta says Cougars are a great choice. Yeah, they are.
Right. Woo! I don't know what we were talking about there, though.
Not dating young women, because even if they card you, even if you card them and they say they're over 18, but they're lying, you're still criminally responsible.
Oh, I see. They call that the Lawrence Taylor effect. Will C. says, it was weird to listen to this after the pretty scary episode with Aphrodite Jones and hear ATB's fire doused about Peterson's innocence. Here's the thing. Me and Aphrodite Jones argued about whether an owl killed Michael Peterson's wife. And she did nothing to douse my belief in that theory. She just laughed when I brought it up, which I win if we're in the court of law. If that's her only argument back. So
her argument is nuh-uh.
Yeah. So no, my fire was not doused. We'll see. Don't you worry.
Wait, is that a true theory that an owl like hit her on a boat and she fell off it?
If you look into it,
I thought you were riffing, and it was kind of cute. Like,
no, this case, the woman, it's a there's 2 8-part documentary series about this one case, so I can't run through all of it, but. This guy's wife was found dead at the bottom of a staircase, and he eventually...
Oh, is that wrong? I'm supposed to clap for that?
He eventually went to prison for it, but then was kind of exonerated, but then went back to trial and finally pled guilty to, like, manslaughter and time served. But one of the theories is that a barrel owl, which if you Google barrel owl attacks, they do regularly attack people, and one of the ways they attack people is they mistake ponytails for prey. There was actually at one point in Oregon, these owls were attacking joggers, and they literally told women, don't wear a ponytail if you're running in this park, because the owls are
attacking
people.
Rip your scalp
off
or what?
And yeah, if you look at the abrasions on Michael Peterson's wife's scalp, for one thing, they said he beat her to death and there's no fractures on her skull, which seems really difficult. But also all of the abrasions are like, they look like an owl grabbing something. Oh. There's 3 points here and 1 point back here, and they just kind of come together.
Yeah.
What the fuck else could that be?
Now. To be fair, I always beat my family members with this weird claw hand.
Yeah, so. That's true. Oh, they also found...
Owl claws in her skin?
They found a feather in her fucking hand with a strand of her hair, which somehow Aphrodite Jones had never heard about.
Unless she was grabbing a dream catcher for her last wish.
Yeah.
And then, also, she scratched, it was the owl into her arm.
Yeah, there was
but no one believed her.
There was also an owl with a knife at the scene.
Who's been responsible for other killings.
Right.
But never convicted.
It's long. Ashley B., thanks for helping out with the research, but that's a long comment. Emma Lou, this is more my speed. Great episode. Thanks, Pops. Rebecca was a great guest. I agree.
Gorlak says, Beck Stews was a great guest.
She was. Lyle Albritton says, I smile at the defendant and wave. He's talking about how to get out of jury duty. And that seems like a...
Can I read the next one?
Decent strategy. Go for it.
Depressingly enough...
Who says it?
Fiona Apps. That's a clever name, Fiona Appsels. Depressingly enough, Scientology absolutely still has tax-exempt status. And they got it by blackmailing IRS agents. Because Scientology is forever terrifying.
But I feel like blackmailing IRS agents, I'm like,
That's all right. That's one of those good evils.
Yeah, that's...
What do they call that? Arbitrary evidence or something like that? There's another name for it when you're just like, is that what happened? Do you know?
I don't know.
Hearsay?
No, there's another word for it. There's another word for it with that kind of evidence. Anecdotal evidence?
Oh, circumstantial evidence. But that wouldn't be an example of that. So maybe it's not that.
Oh, Hannah needs help.
Hannah Ladwig says, do you remember the title of the speed reading article? I'd love to check it out. Hey, you know what? I'll pull it up right goddamn now and tell you, because I did read a fantastic article about how to read a 300-page book in 2 hours.
Oh, I could use that.
It's super fucking helpful. Okay, this isn't the snappiest title. It's called 6 Steps to Speed Read a 300-Page Book in 2 Hours and Remember What You've Read. It's on vakil.org, V-A-K-I-L.org.
Probably Vakil, because the guy's name is Muhammad Ali Vakil.
He's the greatest.
The greatest speed reader of all time.
Greatest commenter.
So yeah, it's on, if you just Google how to read a 300-page book in 2 hours, and I doubt any other article is going to come up first.
Or just write down the entire web address with all the dashes in it and make sure you put it in specifically like that.
Yes.
Don't you just read they say you read the first and last chapter all the way through, and you read the first page and the last page of every...
You read the preface and the introduction, and then kind of study up on the author for 15 minutes. because that gives you an idea of what mindset they're writing from and what tone they're probably going to be taking. And then you just flip through the book quick, like in 10 minutes, flip through the entire thing and just make note. Like if I'm doing it on a Kindle,
yeah,
Kindles show you what things a lot of people have highlighted when they've been reading the book. So I'll look for things that have been highlighted. I know that's something I need to pay attention to. And then after that, yeah, you go through and spend like an hour and a half just sort of reading the chapters, but like reading the first page and the last
page. First page, last page. First,
and then just kind of blowing through the middle and just like – and I feel like I retain more when I do that if I'm reading a book for information than if I just try to sit down and read it and remember everything. And then also there's a final step where you make like a map of all the points and kind of tie it all together. And it works great because I have to research a lot of fucking stuff.
Yeah.
You get for reading books. Shut up!
Shut up! Shut up!
I have a library card. I go often.
I used to. I need to get one. I had a Santa Monica library card. I imagine
next to the mecca of libraries, the downtown library in Los Angeles. I mean, it's not the New York Central Library, but the Central Library in Los Angeles is so phenomenal and beautiful. A lot of homeless, but still great.
Where is it?
It's on, like, blocks 7th, from here. Isn't it? Yeah.
You can probably ride a skateboard.
Yeah, it's really close. It's
like, I can't ride a skateboard.
It's like
there
the Pershing Square exit is where I get off on the metro to get to.
Yeah. So. Fine. I'll get a fucking library card.
Yeah, dude, it's great. There's a Starbucks across the way. You always got to pressure people.
Well, what's great about library cards, too, is now you can just download audiobooks with your library.
Well, if you have a Kindle, you can get ebooks for your Kindle with a library card.
Also, you can cut up lines of cocaine with your library card.
And if you don't mess with hard drugs, you can actually just grind up your herb, and then you can use that to also scoop it together.
You can fuck a library card.
Snort lines of your herb.
You'll get a cut. You'll get a couple cuts, but you could fuck it.
Or it'll get a cut, if you know what I mean.
Depending how sharp that cock is.
Sharp ass cut.
See some fucking movies, bro.
Brian Gottfried says, Jeff with a solid Tracy Jordan impression.
Yo, that's hilarious. Yo, my last special wasn't that great.
Michael Hahn says, hashtag gin blossoms at Adams.
Hold on, was that a rap that was a couple ways up?
Was there?
I think someone wrote a rap.
Where?
Oh, no, it's a reference about the queers. And there's
the
a
band
song
or the people?
The band.
Oh.
Yeah. I was in a...
It's just like this. It's just someone just.
And you know, the queers!
Remember the.
Yeah, your peepaw is actually a subscriber to our show.
All right. So that's all our comments. We should wrap it up. We're pushing an hour now.
I do believe in safe podcasting.
Yeah.
Right?
Me too.
Wrap it up.
Well, I bet this is my. Well, this is only the second one today, but this is the fifth podcast I've recorded this week.
Oof.
You're a podcast machine, dude.
Third you've done with me so far.
Yeah.
How many podcasts are your own podcasts that are just like
most of them I'm on. They're not. None of them are really my own, but I co-host
eight of the.
But
time,
I mean, I, eight, but I, yeah, I mean, like you're part of the creation of them. Eight podcasts. Yeah.
The only two you're not on regularly is Profiles in Eccentricity and Take a Walk.
Take a Walk.
And you're on all the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of podcasts.
Yes, it is.
It's a lot. A lot of pod to cast.
It's very nice.
But it's fine.
It's fun. Podcasting is great.
It pays the bills. I cannot complain. Thank you, everybody. Hey, speaking of that, go subscribe to the rest of our podcast at patreon.com/unpops. $5 a month. We do 10 episodes a week. It's 12 and a half cents an episode.
Can you imagine that deal?
That's really a great deal.
That's a great deal. Also, we have a live podcast at the Hollywood Hotel October 28th. Come out to that. I don't even know who's going to be on it yet. You want to be on it, Jeff? Well, I mean, you're the co-host. You have to be.
I was going to say, I'm probably on it.
You should go, Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff will be on it. Quincy will be on it because Quincy helped set it up. And Quincy's great and a fantastic comic and a good podcast guest, and we don't have him on the main podcast enough.
Mm.
So he's going to be on the live podcast. Mm. We'll figure it out. Maybe Carrie Martin. Who knows?
Ooh.
Oh, Carrie's great.
Carrie's great. So yeah, come out to that Hollywood Hotel October 28th. It's going to be a Halloween thing. We'll figure out how.
Wear your costume to the live podcast.
Come to our Halloween party. What else do we got to plug?
I'll be at Colnidre services on Friday night.
All right,
Saturday
Drew,
morning.
Cut it out.
If you don't want to come, you know, atone for your sins this weekend, then you can also check out our podcast, Crime!
Wow, it's great timing, Slayton.
It's Edit Crime with three I's, C-R-I-I-I-M-E. You can find us on all the socials at Crime Pod, still with three I's. And check out our show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, guys, check it out.
Come listen to us before True Crime, the bubble bursts, and no one listens
to us. Don't
listen
to Serial. What are you, 60? Come listen to Crime. You know what I'm saying?
That's Jeff?
Fair. That's fair.
What are you, 60? And also, what do you got to play?
you instigator.
Mint
you.
On Cards, second Friday of every month. This month, October 13th, Blast from the Past and beautiful Magnolia in Burbank. Got a great lineup. As always, the show is free. We give away free shit, so get on that. October 10th, I'll be headlining Flapper's Comedy Club for the Naughty But Nerdy. What a stupid name for a show. The Naughty But Nerdy Show. I'm headlining that one.
What
so that's
a
great.
Niche, folks.
Just cosplay porn.
I have I've done cosplay comedy, too. I have access to free tickets, so get at me if you want them. Also, if you get a chance, please donate to CareRescueLA at gmail.com on PayPal. They got Adam a dog. They're helping us with our kitties.
Winter, get in here, puppy.
They are the official charity of Unpopular Opinion.
I would say so.
Everybody. If you Venmo me $5, I'll send you a picture of me with no shirt on.
Hey.
As long as we're talking about it. It's Rich Slayton.
You do that to me and I will take $5.
I feel like you can't afford not to send Rich Slayton $5 with a deal
like
that.
He looks great. You won't believe he's Jewish when you see this body.
No, you won't.
I still don't believe it.
It is velvety.
Me neither, really.
I try not to believe it, actually.
Yeah.
His hair looks like vanilla cotton candy. It is really something. I recommend
Have an easy fast, everybody.
All right.
Either way, it's good stuff. Donate if you can. Come to our shows. Adam and I are really good at stand-up. I haven't seen you guys in a long time.
Oh, we're fucking good. We're good. We are good. You'll be impressed.
I'm phenomenal.
See everybody live. Every we don't book bad comics on here, so see.
We do not.
Go support live comedy. It's fucking important.
Yeah, you fucking assholes.
Yeah, guys, come on out.
That was a little
over the top.
That's a little harsh, but like if you didn't go to an Unpops live show and you're local, like kind of medium, fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, Crime doesn't want you to feel bad for not coming to anything, but you know.
Well, then tell them that on Crime.
That's a good point.
We're not allowed to be nice on other people's podcasts.
It's a three us.
Thanks for having us, guys. It was a blast.
Yeah, thanks for doing it. Let's get the fuck out of here. Woo! Rich Slayton, say goodbye.
Bye, robot.
John Shefsky, say goodbye.
Shefsky out. Thank you guys so much. I love you guys.
Jeff, say goodbye.
You get the Crime rookie card, everybody.
Winter, do you want to say goodbye, puppy? That was not my dog. Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bring a blood object to Bristol Street.